Vous êtes avec SBS French.
Donc, il s'agit d'un documentaire consacré aux explorations françaises dans le Pacifique et en Australie. Donc, nous nous concentrons en fait sur les explorations scientifiques, les explorateurs scientifiques qui ont contribué à créer le début de la biologie moderne.
Et peut-être parlez-nous brièvement du bilan que vous faites de l'engagement de la France en ce qui concerne les recherches et les découvertes fin 18e siècle et début du 19e siècle dans cette région du monde. La France était à l'avant-garde, on l'imagine, en matière de recherche scientifique.
Oui, tout à fait. Disons que, quels que soient en fait les monarques ou ensuite les républicains qui ont été au pouvoir en France, ils ont continué de financer ces explorations scientifiques. Hein, ça demeurait vraiment un point d'intérêt énorme pour la France. Et donc à chaque fois, chacun des bateaux qui revenaient rapportait des collections qui étaient ensuite soigneusement classées, par exemple au Muséum d'Histoire Naturelle à Paris.
Et aussi dans le jardin de Joséphine Bonaparte.
Oui, tout à fait.
Madame Maisonnier, parlez des travaux en cours en ce moment en Bretagne sur les spécimens de plantes, je crois, récupérés de l'expédition Lapérouse.
Donc nous avons été en contact, nous sommes en contact avec le Conservatoire botanique de Brest et ce conservatoire a fait différents travaux, notamment à partir des graines de Banksia, pour voir s'il était possible de tirer parti des graines qui avaient pu être trouvées qui dataient du temps effectivement de l'expédition Lapérouse.
Donc il y a ce partenariat avec la Bretagne et l'Australie du Sud concernant ce projet.
Oui, tout à fait. En fait, c'est parce que nous avons obtenu un financement en 2018 de la part du Department of Premier and Cabinet pour justement créer des liens avec la Bretagne et plus particulièrement les musées bretons et les universités bretonnes. Donc nous avons pu faire un voyage en juin 2019, et nous avons pu établir des premiers contacts sérieux avec nos partenaires des musées bretons et des universités.
Merci à vous, merci d'être intervenu sur les ondes de SBS French. Bonne continuation.
Et je vous en prie, c'est avec plaisir.
Et à une prochaine fois.
Merci, au revoir.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
Pleasure of welcoming on the French language program Dr. Daniel Claude from Flinders University. Welcome.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
You're a maritime historian from the College of Humanities, Arts and Social Sciences.
Yes, well, I guess I'm more of a scholar of maritime history. So I'm generally a creative writer and I research in lots of different areas, one of which is maritime history.
And we're speaking on the extraordinary voyages of French scientific discovery in the Pacific region in the late 18th and early 19th century. What can you tell us about the documentary?
Okay, so we decided as part of Science Week, National Science Week, to do an online presentation because it's so difficult to give talks and lectures at the current moment. So we put together a film version. So we're hoping to make that a bilingual film. That tonight's viewing will just be in English, but we have a bilingual track as well that will be available for screening. So it just covers the kind of the history of French voyages of exploration during that period when they were most focused on science and discovery. So tracing from Bougainville through to Dumont d'Urville.
And all the plants and animals made their way to the Paris Natural History Museum, and some ended in Joséphine's garden, I believe.
That's right. So that's one of the characteristic features of the French voyages of exploration, which is distinctive from the English voyages and some of the other countries, is that the French were very organised with the scientific influence. So the Museum of Natural History in Paris was a very big promoter of these voyages and very keen to have good scientists on board and making sure that they had the staff and the budget to do really good research. So they would have artists and botanists and geologists and other people on board doing the research, and as a result, all of the collections tended to go back to the Paris Natural History Museum. There were a couple of little exceptions to that, but mostly the collections went back. So some of them did go to Josephine's Garden. That's one of the exceptions. but by and large, most of them are in the, they're still in the Paris Museum today, so you can search the collections and find them.
So would I be correct in saying that France was at the forefront of research and discovery during that period of history, better than the British?
Absolutely. It's one of the things about France is that they professionalised the biological sciences quite early. So this is at the very beginning of the biological sciences. And the Natural History Museum was quite important in that development. And I guess partly it was also pretty, you know, encouraged along by the French Revolution, because there was a tendency for early science to be done by wealthy gentlemen who could afford to do science as a hobby. So people like Joseph Banks, for example, who funded his own research. Whereas the French went down the path of employing people and insisting that people had to be paid for their work, so they didn't allow people to be aristocrats and do science. They had to become professional scientists. So that sort of changed the dynamic and made them much more systematic and organised in their research. And as a result, there's much better records from France for that period.
And I also believe, according to the media release, that there's a research collaboration between Brittany and South Australia, a bilateral project?
Yes, so Christelle Magneux and I have been working with some of the Breton maritime museums, and we've been over and visited, and we were hoping to go back again very soon, but that's not going to happen now. It'll be a bit delayed. But yeah, it's our interest is in building connections with Brittany and South Australia, and promoting that shared history and the cultural exchange that we can do through this shared history. So that's been a really exciting development, and this film is part of that, because we will hope to screen the film in Brittany when we get to travel there.
And the research will happen also in Mauritius in 2023?
Yes, I am hoping to get to Mauritius then as well. So that particularly relates to some of my work on Cumafon, because I have a new book on the Bougainville voyage. So it's in search of the woman who sailed the world. So it's about Bougainville's assistant, Jeanne Barret, who was the first woman to circumnavigate the world. So that's a really exciting development as well. And she spent quite a lot of time in Mauritius, as did the botanist Cumafon. And that's something that we've been working on with researchers in Mauritius.
And can you tell us a bit more about Jeanne Barret? She was disguised as a man, I believe, to get on board the ship?
That's right, yes, she did. She disguised herself as a man because, of course, it was illegal to have women on the French naval vessels. And she worked as Cumafon's assistant, and she was a very highly skilled botanist in her own right. And she maintained her disguise fairly successfully all the way across the Atlantic, down South America, around through the Straits of Magellan and across to the Pacific. But the story goes that when she was in Tahiti, the Tahitians immediately recognised her as a woman and were very keen on winning her attention. So she had to return to the ship. And after that, her identity was known, but she continued doing the same work until the ship got back to Mauritius, and that's where she and Commerson disembarked to continue doing some botanical work in Mauritius before ultimately she returned to France, although Commerson didn't make it. He died in Mauritius.
Thank you so much for coming on to the French language program, Dr. Daniel Claude, and all the best.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Vous êtes avec Radio SBS en français.
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.